before moving on to our tosfos, number one is completely and totally unrelated. Is a tosfos rid point out a gemara? I forgot. I discussed the issue, but I forgot that it's a gemara later in the parak when we spoke about aseh do chalos aseh. So the gemara beferish on daf mem amud aleph asked the question, why don't you say aseh do chalos aseh? Very much like yibum chalitza. To which I think gave the teretz also, which the Gemara gives, which is that if she's mochel, maybe someone you said it even, if she's mocheles, if she doesn't want to marry him, yeah, someone said this, if it's efshel l'kayim shneim, so then you don't say aseh do chalos aseh. So she could refuse here, and therefore it's efshel l'kayim shneim. So I just point that lagabi yibum or chalitza. The Gemara says, well, why don't you do chalitza? Why do you ever say you're allowed to do yibum? So the Gemara's answer is that chalitza b'makom yibum laf klum. So what about here? So the answer is obvious. When I just looked at the Gemara and I thought about it, I don't know if we said this in Shir, but it's kind of obvious. There's no mitzvah for her to marry him here. Right? And as he owes her something. He owes her marrying her, but if she's not interested in marrying her, there's no adifus whatsoever to his marrying her as opposed to her walking away if that's her will. And therefore, it really is efshel l'kayim shneim. Whereas by chalitza and yibum, they could both want not to do yibum and both want to do chalitza, but the Torah prefers that they do yibum. It's not a question of what either of them want. Now, they're allowed to do chalitza if one party wants to and the other party agrees, but clearly it's less than ideal. Whereas here, there's nothing less ideal about her saying, get lost, go take a hike, you can give my father the money, I don't want to ever see you again, versus her deciding, okay, I'd rather be married to you. There's no difference, and therefore it's efshel l'kayim shneim. Point number two is not a point of information, but a point of absence of information. I cannot find anything in the Shita Mekubetzis or any of the Rishonim who observe that Rishim Manasseh is the one in Chagiga who says that Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskon zeha ba alachas mikal erva v'holin mimena mamzer. I'm sure it was not my, when I, and again, I forgot about it, but when I saw the Gemishnah yesterday, I said, oh, wait, I'm sure someone must have commented on it because it had the ring of familiarity to me when I saw it. So I don't think that it was my observation. I think seeing the Mishnah just reminded me that one of the Mishonim, in fact, or somebody, asked this question, but I am unable to locate it in the Shita Mekubetzis or any of the other Mishonim. And for the most part, by the way, the Shita, my sense of having read the Shita is that he collects the Ritvas and the Rashbas, at least on this Masechta. Each Shita Mekubetzis and different Masechtas is different. It's not all the same. I think he collects the Rashbas, Ritvas, and maybe Rambans also, besides Tosos. So reading through the Shita really gets you sort of, I don't know if he doesn't have the Ran. He doesn't have the Chiddush Ran. I didn't look in the Chiddush Ran because it's not in my Kovetz. Maybe it is in my Kovetz. I don't know. I didn't look there because it's not in the Shita. But somebody must say this somewhere. Okay.
When was it written?
The Shita Mekubetzis. Well, I think the official Shita Mekubetzis, but again, the one, I don't know if this, which ones he wrote, was Rabbi Tzalal Ashkenazi. I think it's like 15th or 16th century. It's late enough, I think, to have the Ran. I could be wrong, but I think so. Okay, so anyway, now there was one last point, now, leading up to Ula Kohen Gadol, which you all figured out, of course, because you learned the Tosfos and then you looked up the Gemara Yevamos, right? So what's the point? So I still stand by what my comments were yesterday about the origin of the sugya, but one of the notion of discussing by Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, discussing the question of Ba'alash Lokadarka is not as far-fetched as it would seem. In other words, Rashi didn't just come up with this with a brilliant stroke of Svara, although he was brilliant, but rather it emerges from a Gemara that you would have seen if you had looked up the Machlokas that Tosfos cites in Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph in Yevamos. Really, you got to look up the Gemaras, even the ones that I don't give you. The Gemara there has, and this is, I'll mention this to you now because it's relevant to Tosfos Bechalal. There is a machlokas between Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon. What is the machlokas about? Number two, it's two machlokas. Each one is one kula and one chumra. The question is whether a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry a Bogeris. Why might a Kohen Gadol not be allowed to marry a Bogeris l'chatchila? Because her besulim are theoretically not completely intact. Because from the time, I guess, I don't know if they assume this was a function of physical growth or the effect of the, you know, blood, you know, washing away some of the besulim, which I suspect from a biological vantage point is actually not true at all. I'll explain in a moment why. But they assume that the Basulim were not entirely Chayam. Now, at least from if it's a blood question, I will tell you the following. I know this sounds like a very strange thing to tell you, but any of you are going to go be rabbis, and anyone you're going to be Misadre Kiddushin, and you deal with Chassan and Makalos, so there are various conditions under which the Chassan and the Kal have difficulty consummating the marriage. I would never have known of this having not gone to a workshop offered by, I think, the Shalom Task Force several years ago. And there is a condition that's known as an imperforable hymen, where the hymen cannot be broken through, I know you were so familiar with it, intercourse. It comes in ayin daf yud amar aleph. There are different kinds of it. Sometimes there are holes in the hymen which allow the blood through, but it still can't really, maybe a string of tissue that really can't be broken to normal intercourse, or requires a doctor to cut it. I actually once had a shiloh like this, of someone who came to me, and had I not known about it, I would have been totally clueless, but I said, go to the doctor and find out, and it turned out it was exactly that. Another stronger form of the condition, which I never encountered, again, I don't deal with this that much generally, was a hymen that's completely imperforable, where the blood can't even get out. But the truth is, the girl should have known already, in theory, that there's an issue, because she'd never actually seen the blood. I don't know if the blood gets reabsorbed into the body or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what happens. But you can have an imperforable hymen where the blood itself can't get through. So it doesn't necessarily do any harm, but then it becomes a particular issue when they get married. That's I believe, was... Again, I never encountered the latter case the way it's described, but it's clear the blood, unless that's a unique hymen, the blood is not washing the hymen out. Right? Under normal circumstances, the hymen usually has a hole in the middle, and when it's broken during the act of Bia Rishona, it's really just, imagine there's a hole there already, and you're pushing an object through, sort of it spreads, it breaks the membrane, the parts that are still attached around. And that membrane, I'm told by a particular doctor who's also a big Talmud Chacham, told me that it's a vestigial membrane from the uterine, in utero, which, over time, sometimes may be gone on its own. So I don't know what it is, but the assumption is that Bulgaris doesn't have complete Bisulim. Okay? That's Rabbi Meir's Shita. But Rabbi Meir also assumes that if a woman has Bia Shalo Kedarka, that does not change her status as a Basula. It counts as Bia for many purposes in Halacha, Bia Shalo Kedarka, but it doesn't render her a non-Basula. An issue that's not explored in the Gemara, but I do wonder about, and I wonder about in context, is in fact, would such a Bia apostle her? Let's say she were an almana, and a Kohen Gadol was ba'ala shalo kedarka. Would that render her a halala to be apostle to a Kohen Hedyot? The Gemara here on Amud Beis, in fact, one of my chaverim just asked me about this din, and where's the Gemara, and I forgot about it, and then it came back to me in a flash. I didn't know where it was, but I knew the expression. The Gemara in New Testament Beis says, Ein Znus L'Behema. If a woman is Nivelas L'Behema, and there it doesn't matter whether it's Kedarka or Shalo Kedarka, it's not considered Bia. She's Chayiv Misa in theory, or Chayiv Kar, whatever it is, but it doesn't actually constitute a Bia. It's more like Mukas Eitz, but the Xeris HaKasav that you get Mises based in. So the question would be, what would happen by a Ba'ula Shalo Kedarka? So Rameir says that even though it's Bia, Avi Meir knows that it's Bia for most Isuri Bia of the Torah, it doesn't render her non-Basula. The question is, would you say also it doesn't pasal her lakuna, doesn't change her status? I don't know. There's Rabbi Meir's Chumrah, is that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry Bulgaris. Rabbi Meir's Kula is that Bia Shalo Kedarka doesn't count. And that's the Ukimta, the way Rashi is explaining Ba'ula Kohen Gadol here. How can you have a Ba'ula Kohen Gadol where it's Asr Lakaima, but nonetheless she's a Psula, so you pay a Knas? The answer is, she was Ba'ula Shelo Kedarka, and therefore Lagabe the din of it's according to Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Lazar, actually. I got it backwards. According to Shimon Rabbi Lazar, where that passes her lakahuna, she's a ba'ula lagabe kohen gadol, but she's not a ba'ula lagabe ones mefateh, because ba'ula lagabe ones mefateh let me put it this way. Bia by ones mefateh, does it have to be kedarka? No. But in order to turn her into a non-basula, where she's no longer eligible for the knas of ones mefateh, it has to be Bia Kedarka. It has to be the Bia that removes the Basulim. So therefore, according to Reb Shimon and Reb Lazar, Ba'ula shelo kedarka lekohen gadol is eina ru'uya lekaima, but she is eligible for kanas because she's still a basula for those purposes. But aliba the Rabbi Meir, aliba. So in their position, by the Rishim and Lazu, who are you, Rabbi Meir, say that bia shelo kedarka renders her a non. It doesn't. Rameir's opinion. I'm sorry. Lazu and Rishim say it renders her a ba'ula lekohen gadol. But they say a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry a Bogeris. The Gemara has it Haba Hatayi. It's based upon how you read the words Vhu Isha Bivsula Yikach. How they read Bivsula, Ribui Mir, whatever it is. So Tosus is Kasha here. And so the Gemara in that context tries to quote a Raya. The Gemara says, Rav said Nivala Shalokadarka. Rav does address the question. Nivala Shalokadarka. Psula la kahuna. The bia does pasul. It counts as a bia. So masiv rav avalosieli shah be isha ruyalo. That's our din. Prat le amana la chayin gadol gusha vechalutza la chayin hediot. Well, she's not ruyal kaima. So hechi dami the gemara says ilema bechadarka may iri mishem amana. Who cares that she was an amana? If the bia was kedarka tefuk le mishum dahavi le baula. El alam shelo kedarka. In other words, it can't be. If he was ma'anes, one second. So the Gemara says like this, and this, by the way, yields the other answer of Tosfos. The Gemara says that what's the case where a ba'ula lekohen gadol, where an almana lekohen gadol, if he's ba'aleha, what is the case that she's not ru'uya lekaima? Why? Because she's an almana lekohen gadol. If it's bia kedarka, so the reason why she's eni ru'uya lekaima, it doesn't have to be because of almana lekohen gadol. Why is it eni ru'uya lekaima? Because she's a ba'ula. Once the Kohen Gadol has bia with a penuya, anybody's bia, but a Kohen Gadol has bia with the penuya, she's a ba'ula now, so of course he can't marry her. So why does the Braisa have to state it as a function of Amana le Kohen Gadol? So Ella, what must it be? Lav shelo gedarka. It has to be bia shelo gedarka, and you see that bia shelo gedarka in itself would not constitute making her a ba'ula. Umishumana mena in. Mishum ba'ulalo. So the answer is Hamani Rabbi Meirhi. So now this answers my question earlier, by the way. Clearly for the Gemara, Rabbi Meir holds that Bia Shalokadarka doesn't have the status of Bia for possibly changing a woman's status. Now, but the reason I point this out is because the Gemara here already has entertained two considerations that are discussed by our Rishonim at the end of the Sugya. One was that of Rashi. The Gemara suggested that the way you have an Amana LeKohen Gadol is a situation where he was Boal HaShalo Kedarka, so he could theoretically still marry her. And in the case, and that's the way Rashi really could explain our case. How would you ever have a Kohen being Ma'anes, a woman who's not Re'uyalo? If she had been veles by someone else, shelo kedarka, so for Reb Shimon and Reb Lazar, Rashi doesn't say that, but for Reb Shimon and Reb Lazar, the Kohen Gadol, she's a ba'ula Kohen Gadol. For the purposes of Onei Sebefata, she was still a basula until this Kohen Gadol was boel har. Okay, that was what Rashi said. Now, what's the kasha on Rashi? So I mentioned that the Gemara already has this fully elaborated discussion, not just the Gemara's machlokas, whether ba'ala shelo kedarka, whether that renders her ba'ula lekohen gadol. But it's discussed in the context of onei semefata of amana lekohen gadol. So Rashi, it's not like Rashi and Tosos have to pull their ideas out of thin air here and create their own dohak. These cases exist in the Gemara, even if it doesn't fit as nicely in the sugya. Now, what is the kasha that you're going to ask against Rashi's pshat? What Tosas asked the kasha? What is the question? What? So what should the Gemara have said? Right, now the Gemara is trying to establish by whittling down all the possibilities, you know, maybe you can't find a case for Rabbi Akiva where Kiddushin or Tosin, but there's an Isser. So now you could, the Tosa says the Gemara could have gone a step further. It would have said, ha nicha, if you want to say that the nafkamina is ba'ula la kohen gadol for Rabbi Yeshevav, because it's anasation and shavah bakol. So if Rashi's correct that we're talking about a ba'ula shalo kedarka la kohen gadol, so the Gemara should have said, ha nicha, ha tenach, if you hold like Rav Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, that a ba'ula shalo kedarka is psula la kohen gadol, then she's ena ru'iya la kaima, and yet there still is tvisas kiddushin because it's nasation shavah bakol. But if you hold like Rabbi Meir, then a ba'ula shalo kedarka la kohen gadol, what's her status? She's a mentalist low. There's no problem. So hadron kushula duchta, the question comes back because you don't have a case where it's ena ru'iya lo, and yet kiddushin artosin. This is a case where ru'iya lo and kiddushin artosin, and you pay a knas. So for that reason, Tosa suggests an alternative teret. So let's read Tosos. So I just wanted to acknowledge that in the interest of MS, in that even though I still think that the Gemara reads more difficult, you could argue based upon the sugya in Yevamos on Daf Nun Tes that really the Gemara has already been thinking about the question of Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol being Ba'ula Shelo Kedarka, or even more so the Teretz that Tosis is going to give. So, what does Tosis say? Mati, please read for us. Ika Beinaya Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol. E. Go ahead. Ik Sheira the Kohen Gadol? At the Gemara should have asked that question. Okay, but if you hold like Rabbi Meir, what are you going to do? Because if it's a Ba'ula, to say Ba'ula the Kohen Gadol, if she's a Ba'ula Kedarka, of course there's no Knas. She's not a Basula. And if it's Ba'ula Shel Kedarka, so she's Mutaris the Kohen Gadol. Okay, just as an aside, and maybe I didn't finish the thought, it's clear in Yevamos, Rabbi Meir holds, Bia Shel Kedarka does not change her status at all. So in this case, it doesn't make her a halala, it doesn't make her a ba'ula l'kohen gadol, she's a mutaris l'kohen gadol. If the Bia Shel Kedarka was one of Isser, she could get Malkos, she could get Karish, she could have to bring a chata, she could get Mrs. Bezdin, but it doesn't change her personal status, according to Rabbi Meir only. Okay, fine. So then Tosu says, what's Basra doing there? Basra probably means, in other words, he's younger than him. He's afterwards. And was the sheet that collected? He just has a note there. So he says that Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, who was later Rabbi Kiva, was his Rebbe. Okay, I don't know. I haven't investigated this. Abobaha. Okay. So Tosis is asking the Kasha up until now. In other words, we asked, what if Shimon Asya happens to hold like Rabbi Akiva? What would he do then? What would the difference between his formulation and Shimon Taimani's formulation be? What would the nafkamina be? So why does the Gemara then turn around here and ask the same question? But it's only if he holds like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar, but if he holds like Rabbi Meir, what would he say? So Tosa says, it's a very mechanical terrorist. Tosa says, the Gemara didn't feel the need to say that. You know why? Because we would like Shimon Manasseh to hold like Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. That's why it's shaykh for the Gemara to not stop. It's shaykh for the Gemara to ask the question. So we can't leave Shimon Manasseh alone until we fix him within his Rebbe Shita. Even though, we know he doesn't hold that way. But if he happens to disagree with Rabbi Meir, who cares? If it's not a chiddush saying, what if he hold like Rabbi Meir? Meir's not his Rebbe. We don't expect him to hold that way. Again, my kasha still remains that we know Rav Shimon Asi doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. Or I think we know that. So, from the Mishnah in Chagiga. On Daf Yud, right? And Muvas le'yachal l'skon, ze haba al-erva, v'holid mimena mamzer. So again, it's not black on white, but it's pretty strong. What? Tesam al-alf. Okay. Fine. So now, here are my different teretz. Now stop for a moment. Tosis is going to elaborate and discuss, but this is the basic teretz. What's the teretz here? What is Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol? What's wrong actually with this? There's a problem with this statement, with the formulation, but what is Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol? Nati Gad?
You used one of his photos.
Yeah, when?
At Zoom last time that you that was the evil that he did, should be Messiah.
Correct. So the truth is it's a little misleading because it shouldn't be Ba'ul Lekohen Gadol. It should be Bikohen Gadol. Anytime a Kohen Gadol is unless you
because she's not really kind of him, she's a Petula. I mean, the whole reason that he has to say that she's a Petula is because
no, they're saying that this is Las Atzmo right now. No, there's every in other words, unless you say it's Shalokadarka. Unless you say it's Shalokadarka, what Tosis is saying is that Bula Kohen Gadol means Kohen Gadol was Ba on an Ara. There was no previous sister there. She was a Nara Besula Shelo Arasa. If a Kohen Gadol is Ba'aleha, what is she now? A Ba'ula, but he hasn't married her yet. You see, a Kohen Gadol must marry a Besula. If a Kohen Gadol is Mekadesh, has Kiddushin, and he's suing with a woman, then she doesn't need to be a Besula anymore. Obviously. Right? Otherwise, he couldn't get married because every time he'd have Bia with his wife, he'd have to divorce her and find a new wife. That would not be, he's not a Achashverosh. Okay, so and the halacha is it's a mishnah in Yevamos. If a kohen head yot is mikadesh and almana, and presumably ba'ula too, mikadesh and almana, and then he's nisman alios kohen gadol. Is he allowed to be kohen esar to do nisuin? Mishnah says yes, and I gave an example of Marta bas baitus shekidsha Yeshua ben Gamla. And then he was Nisman Alios Kohen Gadol. The Gemara points out that the circumstances were more than fishy. Marta Bas Baitus was one of the wealthy women of Jerusalem. And the reason why Shulman Gamla, who is spoken positively about the Mishnah and Chazal and other contexts, but the reason why he was appointed to Kohen Gadol is because money doesn't talk, it shouts. So anyway, that was the story of Kohen Gadol in the latter part of the Bayesheni period. So the Mishnah gives that as an example where because he was Ma'aretzer before he was this Man Aliyah's Kohen Gadol, he was allowed to be Kones. Okay? So, but in this case, when the Kohen Gadol is Ma'anes, the Besula, even if they want to get married, nonetheless, she is still not married to him. As the Mechilta says, you do require an act of Kiddushin. And thus, he's being Mekadesh now a Ba'ula. Okay? You guys understand that question? Before you go further in Tosfos, does that make sense to you? The only difficulty in that reading is the Gemara's expression, Ba'ula l'Kohen Gadol. You'll say the Gemara is telling you what the Isser was, but the reality of the scenario is it's not a Ba'ula l'Kohen Gadol, it's any woman with a Kohen Gadol. Again, unless you want to invoke that according to Rabbi Meir, if you want to get everybody, including Meir, it has to be, if you want to work within Dafka Rabbi Meir Shita, take one word for this, if you want to work Dafka within Rabbi Meir Shita, so that he could have had a case where it was a Ba'ula, a Ba'ula l'Kohen Gadol because she was Ba'ula Shalokadarka. But Tosus doesn't want to say that. Why? Because Tosus is striving to avoid a Teretz that only works for one Shita. And that Shita wouldn't work. Right? It wouldn't... Maybe Taka this way would work for both of them. If it's... right. If he's Bia Kadarka, it would work... All right. So forget that point for the moment. But the bottom line is... Tosfos is saying that Ba'ula l'Kohen Gadol is the case for every Kohen Gadol. When he's Ba'an Alisha, she's the Ba'ula l'Kohen Gadol, but he's Ba'anei, Sarah Mefatar, he can't marry her because they haven't had Kiddush yet, now she's a Ba'ula. Yes, Zach. Correct.
So, this is something totally different. This is a girl that he can sleep with and not him off this.
Well, only the first time.
Fine with it.
When she's the first time, she's a Ba'ula.
But
and there's no Malkus because there's no Isser.
Exactly. So the status, what we've been talking about until now is a woman who
had a bad status and you slept and you ma'anis and mafat to her.
It's a lot. Someone who you would give Malkus for sleeping with her and now you don't get the class.
Yes, but here it's a woman who's perfectly kshirelo until he's ba'alaha. That's what you're saying.
If we define another case like that, would we define it within those parameters according to this Shita?
Well, I don't understand what. I don't think.
If you can find a case where you're not usher to the woman
until after you do it. Yeah, but I think it's probably the only case. And all that happens in this is a bia, and in other words, the only people whom bia can affect the status of a woman for are kohanim. A woman, once she has her status, the only thing that can change is that she can turn into an amana gusha zonah halala. That's what can happen, not more than that. So by Sira Kahuna, this is the only case, right? Because Bia, you know, all other cases of a Kohen Hedyot, if there's no Isser in having Bia with the woman now, then there is no Isser with having Bia with her repeatedly. Only a Kohen Gadol with any woman, first time renders her a Ba'ula. But before the first time, she's still a Basula. Yes, right. That wouldn't be. But a Kohen Gadol couldn't do that anyway because she's an Almana. By definition.
No, I was trying to think of that originally.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the only difficulty a little bit in the Gemara, that it's not Stam Bula Kohen Gadol. It's any case of a Kohen Gadol, really. Okay. Fine. There's only one issue. What happens if a Kohen Gadol has a live-in girlfriend? So you would say the first time he sleeps with her, he doesn't violate anything, or at least not any Siri Kahuna. But the second time is a problem. So what happens if he wants to marry her? So you'll say she's a Ba'ula. Yeah, but she's his Ba'ula. She's Ba'ulas Atzmo. So the Gemara says that Ba'ulas Atzmo lo Yisa, but v'im nasa nasui. He's not allowed to marry her, but if she married her, the marriage is binding. And then the Amoraim, I think Rav and Ravashi argue whether he's supposed to divorce her anyway. I don't want to get into that particular issue of what that means in the end, but the question is, if Ba'ula l'Kohen Gadol, Ba'ulas Atzmo l'Kohen Gadol imnasa nasui, so if he's not allowed to marry Ba'ulas Atzmo, what is the nature of that issur? Is it the Raisa or the Rabbanon? Because remember, that's the issue we're dealing with here. The Gemara is looking for a case of an issur Daraisa, because the Pasuk is talking about an Eden Ru'uya L'Kaima. So it's talking about an issur Daraisa where Kiddushin are Tofsin, but it's got to be an issur Daraisa. So that Kiddushin are Tofsin by Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol Stam, not Ba'ulas Atzmo, a different Ba'ula, okay, that in itself is not a problem. In other words, it's an Isser, but there's also Tfisas Kiddushin. But to get around the problem of that, if she was Nivala by someone else, she wouldn't be a Basula anymore for Onis HaMafata, we wanted to say that this is the Bia and it's Ba'ulas Atzmo of the Kohen Gadol. But the problem is, if it's Ba'ulas Atzmo, Imnasa Nasui, if he goes ahead and marries her, then he's suing his good. So the question is, maybe it's not. How can that be? How can it be Asr for the Kohen Gadol to marry her? But if he married her, Masha Asa Asr in effect. Imnasa Nasui. What does that tell you about the nature of the Asr? So let me give you an example. We have cases like. A woman who is. Both parents are gerim, but she is born after their conversion. They both convert. She is conceived and born after their conversion. We paskin that Cohen's not allowed to marry her, but if he did, Masha Asa Asa, he doesn't have to divorce her. I'll put that with a moment. What does that tell you about the nature of the Isser or the Psak in this case? That the Isser of marrying a daughter of a gerim gioris is, Spence? The Rabbanan. So, and in fact, what we're doing is we like to be machmir for one of the Tanaim, I think Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or Rabbi Yosei, but we'll make it, but the evidence for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is can midina halachas like him. So the fact that you should marry her is a chumra midrabbanon, because midina you're allowed to marry her. So one might have said, based upon that, since the Gemara says in Yevamos, on Daf and Tes, that Be'ulas Atzmo lo Yisa, but in Nasana, so you would say, very nice, but you haven't solved any problems, Tosas, because that's only Nisid Rabbanon. And the Raya that is Nisid Rabbanon, is because Vim Nasana. So Tosas now asks the question. Go ahead, Mati. V'lo Chashiva Re'lekaima, a Be'ulas Atzmo l'Kohen Gadol, which is what Tosas says we're dealing with here, that's called Eina Re'uya L'Kaima. Afagav. So that would imply that the Isser, that it's Ruhi Lakaima, in fact. Now, he hasn't yet married her, so he's still in the category of Laisa, but in Nasa Nasa, it sounds like really Mitharais, it's okay. So Tosa says, Mikomakom. Since l'chatchila you're not allowed to marry, it's not called ru'uya l'kaima. Now that's not enough. Dehai. It's deraisa. Prohibition of marriage is midaraisa, and the bidyeved is even though you violate the issa deraisa. All right. Afagav, nasa hachanami. I'm sorry. No. Was not hachanami? Hachanami comes after that. Is that his correction? The hachanami is the next part. Again, mikomakom came the hachilo yisa the chashivu lekaima the high lo yisa have him in at Torah. Afagav the nasa nasa. Vehachinami amar. Right, so the din is, the Gemara says that Balgeris and Mukas Eitz, according to Rabbi Meir, you're not allowed to marry. And nonetheless, we say, Vimnosa Nosui. Afagam. It's clear from the Gemara, it's a din Doraisa, it's based on Drasha, based on Sukkim, that you should marry Balgeris or Mukas Eitz. Still, we say, Vimnosa Nosui. And if that's the case, then you can't say that. Then you see that im nasa nasa doesn't make it an issa d'rabbanon. So, the ode. Kedarka. That's the Gemara I read to you. My irya mishemamana tefek ve'dehavi beula. Okay, because they're darshaning off the pasuk of Elosi Elisha, and they have the whole discussion around that, and say that that Ulas Atzmo should in fact be an issa d'oraisa, should be aser. That means it's an issa d'oraisa. And then he just says, "Yeah, I don't know what Rabbeinu Tam is. It's nothing. I didn't look in the Sefer Yashar. If you're interested, you go dig it out. But then Tosas Rush, I think it's this, I'm not even sure. I don't know if there is a Tosas like this, but I don't think he cites what Shitas Rabbeinu Tam is." Okay, so Tosas, so they're really, yes.
Is that just going on the last thing, the Gemara, or the whole thing?
Well, I know, if Rabbeinu Tam Lepirish Kain, I would assume, goes on that it's not Issa D'Oraisa, then I would say you're being forced to go back to Rashi.
Okay.
That's what I would think. So these are the two possible ways of solving Be'ula Kohen Gadol. Either you say Be'ula Shalo Kedarka, and now the Kohen Gadol is Ba'aleha, and you might even say, well, okay, or she was a Basula Lagamre, and the Kohen Gadol is Ba'aleha, now she's a Be'ula. It's Be'ula Satzmo, but Be'ula Satzmo is still an Issa D'Oraisa, even though I'm Nasa Nasa, and therefore it's called Einu Ruya L'Kaima. Because if you come and ask the Shaila, am I allowed to marry her? The answer is no. If you went ahead and married her, the marriage is binding, maybe you do, maybe you don't have to divorce her. No, okay, but since L'Chatchila Midoraisa, you're not allowed to marry her, it is considered Einu Ruya L'Kaima. Okay. Fine. Any questions about that? Yitzi?
According to Tosa, would the Gemara theoretically then have to continue and say that's okay for Lo Tavid Mahani, but not for Lo Tavid Lo Mahani? Or is that like Amorai and we're not going to investigate?
No, so I would say that din Amash, firstly, in that case, on some level, the Kiddushin are Vadei Tosin. So you can't talk about Mahani Lo Mahani. Mahani relates to a Chalos. There, it's clear, Kiddushin are Tosin no matter what. L'chulei Amma. And therefore, the only shailas is you're allowed to be married to her. That doesn't depend upon the Avad Mahani, Avad Lamahani. And if anything, Avad Mahani, Avad Lamahani might have dictated whether the Kiddushin are Tosin in the first place, since you're not allowed Lo Yisa Min HaTorah. But once you say that Kiddushin are Tosin, you can't talk about Avad Mahani, Avad Lamahani. Once you know that as a fact.
So it's just like a Kulei Alma, but it's an exception, I guess.
Correct. And it's one of those cases where everybody knows. Right? Everybody knows that. Okay, fine. So let's now turn our attention to the sugya in Yevamos. All right, well, actually, before we do, let me just take 5 minutes and chazer over what we've said until now, which is really the first part of the sugya. And I'll try to do this, if I need more than 5 minutes, but I'll try to do this clearly. So here we go. And you might want to mark it in your notes, Chaim, on the tape. On the tape, it's at 34 minutes and 1 second. Okay. The basic question that both the Bavli and Yerushalmi grapple with in dealing with the Mishnah, in terms of the psulos that are listed in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says you do have knas, is that the Torah says that after you have to pay this, do that, or do the other thing, and in the case of Mefata, you're advised to marry her, in the case of Anusa, you have to marry her, unless the father or the daughter, or both the father and daughter, whatever it is, don't want. So The question is, if you can't have a marriage there, who says that the din of kenas applies? Of course, boshes and pegam and tsar will apply if relevant, but if it's not in the gather of a lo siyeh lisha, if you can't marry the girl, why should there be a kenas? You should say, since she's in a re lekaima, it's not included in this parsha. You don't pay the kenas, you don't marry her. But the Mishnah clearly assumes that you do. So both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi quote the various kinds of drashos here. The Bavli initially starts out with nara hanara and besula bisulos. Eventually the Bavli amalgamates these two to actually claim that it's really you need all six psukim because two are used for other purposes. In the Yerushalmi, they have something that's like one of these two drushos, kimura psulos, and ultimately the Yerushalmi bases it upon imma ein yimma ein. How do you know if me and Hashemayim that you pay knas if the Torah says the marriage is not suitable? But then the Bavli, so the Yerushalmi basically says that as long as the person is in the parsha of Tfisas Kiddushin as opposed to a Shivcha, where there's no Havai at all, as long as they're in the parsha of Kiddushin, there will be a din of knas, unless you're dealing with Kamei the Rav Aminei. The Bavli then goes on to quote a Braisa with two Tanoim who both dispute the Mishnah. They dispute the Mishnah in the sense that they claim that not all psulos is there actually a kenas because you do need velo si elisha. But the machlokas kipshuto in the Braisa, and even the Gemara knows this, the simple reading of the Braisa, is that the machlokas between Rav Shimon HaTeimoni and Rav Shimon HaNasya is whether in order to collect kenas, does it have to be that it's mutter for him to marry her or just that the kiddushin would be tofsin. Rav Shimon HaTeimoni says that as long as kiddushin are tosin, as long as yesh b'havaya v'lo sihyeh le'isha, you pay a knas. But if it's no tvisas kiddushin, like achoso and achoso and achosimo, the arayas in the Mishnah, so then there would be, just since there's no tvisas kiddushin, it's not even theoretically v'lo sihyeh le'isha, therefore there is no knas. Rav Shimon Manasseh says that whenever it's not Ru'uya L'Kaima, which would apply that there is any isser whatsoever, then we say that there's no knas. So therefore, both the second and the third section of the Mishnah, according to Shimon Manasseh, would be incorrect. They would not be true. You wouldn't pay kenas in those cases. The only part of the Mishnah with which Rabbi Shimon Manasseh would agree is the first Baba about Giyorish Shivcha outside of that, none of the psulos, the real psulos of the Mishnah, would be listed, would be relevant in the Mishnah. You know, a nesina and a mamzeris would be, but only if a nasin or a mamzer were the ones and the mfateh. But for a regular Israel, the only part of the Mishnah that would apply, according to Rav Shimon Manasseh, is the first bava. The Gemara then goes on. The Gemara goes on to raise an issue, which again is a little bit difficult because we know for sure Rav Shimon HaTeimoni holds that Chayvei Krisus there's mamzeirs and there's no tefisas kiddushin, Chayvei Lavin there is, and we also know that probably Rav Shimon Manasseh most likely agrees with that position. But assume, believe out the second half of the moment, everybody knows Rav Shimon HaTeimoni holds that there's no tefisas kiddushin only by Chayvei Krisus because it's black and white in the Mishnah. He is the middle daya. He is the one we paskin like. So the question is, when the Gemara wants to know that if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, so may be nahu. So the problem is, but Shimon Manasseh doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. So it really doesn't even matter. Rav Shimon HaTeimoni does not hold like Rabbi Akiva. So on that level, even if Rav Shimon Manasseh held like Rabbi Akiva, it wouldn't even matter. Because whether he does or doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva, whether Tosa or not, Rav Shimon Manasseh says that Chayvei Lavin, there's no knas, because it's not Ru'uya L'Kaima, whether or not Kiddushin or Tosin. So you have an afkamina already between the Rabbi Shimons. So that's why the Rishonim, Rashi, and Tosos are forced to interpret and say the Gemara's question is, my Benayhu, is not what's an afkamina between the Rabbi Shimons, but rather, if Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh were to hold like Rabbi Akiva, we'll say like Tosos, his Rebbe, if he were to hold that way, then what would the difference between his formulation and Rabbi Shimon HaTeimoni's formulation be? Because for him, whether or not you formulate it as Yesh Bahavaya Ein Bahavaya, or you formulate it as Ru'i L'Kaima Ein Ru'i L'Kaima, it would seem, at least at first glance, that Rabbi Akiva, there is no difference between those two. Why? Because at first glance, according to Rabbi Akiva, any woman whom he's not allowed to marry, there is no Tvisas Kiddushin. So that's what the Gemara says. What would be between the two formulations of the Rabbi Shimon's, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, if he held like Rabbi Akiva? Now, why would he have bothered to formulate it differently if, in fact, the machlokas would be not over who gets knas, but over whom kiddushin is tofsin by? So to that, the Gemara then goes through all the possibilities within Shitas Rabbi Akiva. The first possibility is that according to Rabbi Akiva, Almana Lekohen Gadol would have a knas because kiddushin for the Havaya formulation, but not for the Ruy Lekaima formulation, because Almana Lekohen Gadol kiddushin will be tosin, but it would be Asur Lekaima. And then the Gemara says, and that means only Surei Kuna. But then the Gemara says, what about Rabbi Yesheva, who says that that's totally wrong, and that Rabbi Akiva makes mamzerus from every case where a kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael, and particularly if you believe that Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shevav is just responding to Rabbi Shimon, to Rabbi Simoi, so then he might say that chayvei asei kiddushin or tosin, even though it's aser. But if he's just speaking on his own accord that kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's mamzerus and there's no tfisas kiddushin, so then. What case would, if in fact Rabbi Shimon ben Asya held alike Rabbi Yeshevav B's version of Rabbi Akiva, then what would the nafkamina be between his formulation and Rabbi Shimon HaTemani's formulation? Why did he have to offer a different formulation? To that, the Gemara answers, Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol. And then we discussed, in terms of Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, the Scott we discussed today, how do you have a Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol? She's not a Besula. So yes, there's an Isser of a Kohen Gadol marrying a Be'ula, and it's any really Kaima, but there's also no class anyway, L'Kohen Alma, because she's not a Besula. She's a Be'ula. To that, you either have to say, like Rashi, that she was a Be'ula Shalokadarka, and we're working within Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar, that a Be'ula Shalokadarka is a Surah L'Kohen Gadol, but she's still considered a Besula for Ones and Fat, that purposes in Yupay Knas. Or if you want to say, like Tosfos, Rabbi Nochananel suggests, quoted by Tosfos, that if we're talking about Be'ulas Atzmo, in other words, the Bia here, right now, was the Bia which rendered her a Be'ula, so he paid a Knas, he could pay Knas in theory, why? Because when he's first Baal Leha, she's a Besula. But once he's Baalah, he can't marry her because she's Be'ulas Atzma. And Tosus points out that Be'ulas Atzma is actually an Issur D'oraisa. The last point that we made yesterday is that this sugya appears virtually verbatim. Not totally verbatim, Yaakov is correct. There is some shinui with the assays, but I'm going to leave it aside for the moment. It appears virtually verbatim in Kiddushin Samach. I keep saying Ein Ches. It's Samach Ches Amid Aleph. And I suggested that the original place of the sugya was actually there, because the placement of the sugya here is forced in a couple of ways. The whole Imai Beinaihu, if he holds like Rabbi Akiva, is very difficult. The Ramban, by the way, just says it's a pele. He says the language, just the usage of Imai Beinaihu, is such a strange usage. He says there's one other case in Joss where he points out where you have a similar language. I didn't really investigate, but it's very dachuk. And then even the Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol at the end of the sugya, in our sugya, you have to do a little bit of somersaults to avoid the problem that is raised, the obvious problem that is raised, whereas in the sugya in Kiddushin, Samach, Hasam, and Aleph, it fits in perfectly there, because we're not talking about Knas of Onis Mefate. All we are looking for in Kiddushin is a case where it is Kisiena La'ish, there is Tfisas Kiddushin, but it's achas nuah. The kiddushin are aser min haTorah. The nisuin's aser min haTorah, and Rabbi Akiva has to grapple with that pasuk. So for Rabbi Akiva, there must be a case somehow where there's an iser deraisa and marrying her, but the kiddushin are tosin. And to that, the answer is be'ula kohen gadol. Doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with onei simafata. So you don't have to worry about the fact that she's not a besula. Okay, fine. Now, Yitzi, do you have a question or fine? So now we have one last topic to deal with in this until we move on to Rabbi Nechonya. Now, I gave you a lot of Mikoros, but if you got the Tosfos, the one thing that you should have pulled out of the Gemara, and we may have mentioned it as we pass, but it's the key element that is driving the Tosfos in our Gemara is what? Tosfos Dibur Masa Chilum Ose Ve'ina Ose Mamzerus. What is the essential nekuda that emerges from that line in the Gemara, or better said, what is the assumption in that line in the Gemara which drives the entire discussion in this somewhat long and very complicated Tosfos? What is the issue that drives it? Mati?
The idea that Kiddushin and Mamzer should be held up
by Talia. Okay, the fact that, if it, well, I want to, your formulation is not precise. I want it more precise. You're essentially correct, but you were imprecise in its formulation, yes?
It seems from that line in the Gemara.
No. That line in the Gemara does most definitely draw a connection. And that is true in the Havamim and true in the Maskana. But it was what you said, that Tfisas Kiddushin and Mamzeres is Habatayu, which is imprecise. Yaakov.
The fact that Mamzer is created shows something about the Tfisas Kiddushin.
Correct. In other words, it's not a two-way street. I'm going to say that Tosus's Maskana for Rabbi Akiva and... Well, maybe Tosus's Maskana Lagamre, maybe it works for everybody, is the following. If the child is a mamzer, Kiddushin cannot be Tofsin. If Kiddushin are Tofsin, the child cannot be a mamzer. Now, I'm not splitting hairs with you because there's a very major gap between what I said and what you said. What is that major gap? The major gap is that it is possible that Kiddushin are not Tofsin, but the child is still not a mamzer. Right? What you cannot have is the child is Kiddushin Tofsin, and the child being a mamzer. But you can have Kiddushin or not Tofsin, but the child is still not a mamzer. What has to be clear is there are two data points, there are two things that I can tell you, one about Mamzerus, one about Tfisas Kiddushin, that will shed light on the other. If I tell you the child is a Mamzer, there cannot be Tfisas Kiddushin. If I tell you that there is Tfisas Kiddushin, the child cannot be a Mamzer. But just because I tell you that there's no Tfisas Kiddushin doesn't tell you that the child is a Mamzer, and that's clear in Tosfos. And just because I tell you the child, both are clear, just because I tell you that the child is not a Mamzer, doesn't mean Kiddushin or Tofsin. Tosus does not spell this piece out as explicitly as one might have liked in these terms. Perhaps Tosus didn't take philosophy 101 to deal with the nomenclature. I think Tosus, there are enough Tosusim and Shas who certainly understood this logic, Chazal understood this logic, that A implies B does not mean that B implies A. But that is the essence of what Tosus is dealing with here. That is point number one. Drill that into your head. It may not be, it's not obvious to you when you start Tosus, but after you've read it three times and you think about what Tosus is dealing, that should be clear to you. Point number two, something that you should all know from the social sciences, and this is relevant at the beginning of Tosus, or you will not precisely get where Tosus is going. Correlation does not imply excellent. Okay? What do I mean by that? The fact is, according to Rabbi Akiva, what makes Mamzerus? In two words, exactly? Chayve Lavin. According to Rabbi Akiva, is Kiddushin Tosin by Chayve Lavin? No. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, what makes Mamzerus? According to Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, by Chayve Krisus, Kiddushin are not Tosin. Is one an outgrowth of the other? Or, and I'm taking a step back, what I told you before was really the maskana of Tosus. Is one an outgrowth of the other? Or is it simply there are two things that happen to correlate with one another, which might have a logical correlation, but not automatically so? Now, why would I think that the two are not automatically correlated? Because of a sugya in Kiddushin that we will talk about. The Mishnah says that any situation where the Kiddushin are Tosin with this one, where Kiddushin are not Tosin here, but Tosin with Acher, the Mishnah says the child is a Mamzer. Now, the question there is that why the child is a Mamzer? Or is that just the rule? And more to the point, how do you know who is a mamzer? How do you know? What's the makar for who is a mamzer? Mati? V'lo yigale kenaf aviv, lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem. The Gemara in Kiddushin, on that very Mishnah, asks, minohani mili. And wants to know, how do you know that Kiddushin arosin? By Arayos. And the Gemara quotes a makar. So ask yourself a question. If, in fact, mamzerus means there cannot be tfisas kiddushin, why does the Gemara need a makar? The mere fact that the child's a mamzer should mean that there's no tefisas kiddushin and you shouldn't need a pasuk for it. From Veloyig the Hekesh of Veloyig Alek Kanaf Aviv and Leyavom Mamzer Bekal Hashem Tu Pesukim later, interrupted only by Ptsuadaka and Krosh Shafcha.
Is that in Kiddushin?
No, that's Yevamos Mentesam and Aleph. That's the first of the Makars.
Another question here in Kiddushin
as well. If the Makar for Mamzerus is Veloyig Alek Kanaf Aviv, why, and the Hekesh to Mamzer, so in order to know that Kiddushin Anatovsin by Chaybe Krisus, for let's say Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, whom the Mishnah seems to be following, if so, why do you need another pasuk? Why does the Gemara have to go through the whole discussion of Ish Asher Yikach or Lo Yikach or something like that? We know if the child is a mamzer, then there's no tefisas kiddushin. So that should be the answer. The makor, whatever your makor is for mamzerus, is your makor the kiddushin or antosin.
There is no, we don't need another makor for that connection.
This makor that the Gemara offers is not a makor for that connection either.
Firstly,
here's a point that again Tosus is very well aware of. Even if the makor were the makor for the connection, it's only by Raya's. It wouldn't solve your problem for Rabbi Akiva. How does Rabbi Akiva know that Kiddushin aren't Tosa Mechayev Elavin? That Gemara, Tosus was aware of your question, right? So for Rabbi Akiva, there is no makor in the Gemara anywhere that Kiddushin aren't Tosa Mechayev Elavin. How does Tosus assume we know for Rabbi Akiva Kiddushin aren't Tosa Mechayev Elavin? Because I'm Zeris. Okay. So with that sort of hakdama to Tosfos, because if you don't realize that at the outset, which I don't, you should not have known at the outset, there's no reason, you should get it at the Maskana. If you don't get it at the Maskana, now you will get it at the Maskana. But that really is the crux of what's going on in Tosfos. I will state, quite to my consternation and shock, I cannot find any discussion of this issue in any of the other Rishonim. I look here, in the Shita Mekubetzes, the Rashba Ritvaramban and Chidushim say nothing in the Shita Mekubetzes that I could find, outside of the quotation of Tosfos, and really no elaboration. I can't find anything on the Sugya in Yevamos in the Rishonim, at least that were quickly available to me on the Bar Ilan, on Daf Mem Tesem and Aleph. Couldn't find anything in Chidushin Ayin Zayin Amud Beis in the Sugya there, or I think even, I don't remember, I looked on the Mishnah too, and Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, nothing. Nobody else discusses this issue. It's such a basic core issue. I'll admit, I didn't look in Tmura, you know, where this same Gemara about Chilul and Almana, Lakan Gadol appears, which Tosfos quotes here. I don't know if we have any Rishon we have in Tmura other than Rashi and Tosfos. So I didn't look there. So maybe somewhere there's a discussion in Shas. I cannot find anything. And I would be really curious, why am I so curious? Because Tosfos here has a major claim in principle about Rabbi Yeshua's position for which there is no explicit Gemara anywhere in Shas. And I would have thought that some of the Rishon, somebody else would have discussed the issue. But I'm surprised, but I can't find it. And maybe it's discussed and I just missed it. Okay. Let's start with Yevamos. Thank you, whoever just read for me, Mati. Much appreciated. And I think now... Albert. Please.
The Mishnah,
that is correct. Okay. Now, I've spoken about this before. I do not want to analyze this to death. There is a lot of discussion in Rishonim in Yevamos here about this issue. I'm going to mention it briefly, and then we're moving on. What is Rabbi Akiva's Shita? Where a Kiddushin not Tofsin, according to what Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah? Sher Basar Shu B'lo Yava. What, can you define that for me, please? The Bavli is going to give one example, which is Anusas Aviv Mefutas Aviv, right? Anusas Aviv Mefutas Aviv. Why is it? Step back. What is Sher Basar?
Relatives.
That's the way we think of it. There are two kinds of relatives. There are two kinds of arayos, generally speaking, in Achrei Mos Kedoshim. What are the two types of arayos? Adin?
Arayos are specific, that the person is usher, that person relation to you is a person who is usher to everyone.
No, that wouldn't be arayos. There's no one in that part. A goy is not in that parsha. Benny?
Blood relatives versus people who
marry. Thank you. Blood relatives versus relatives of marriage. The Torah there describes it all as ish ish el kol she'er bisaro, right? Ahoso, imo, bito, bas bito, bas bino, when it's his own. So those are arayos of blood. Achos ishto, achos oven, achos imo is in that. Achos ishes achi aviv, ishes achiv, achos ishto, ishes aviv, who's not his mother, ishes bino, bas ishto, who's not his daughter, bas bito, bas bino, chamoso, aim chamoso, aim chamiv, those are all arayos of marriage. It's the kiddushin of your relative that makes that person into an erva for you. Okay? So that's what we now, and the term she'er basar is taken from that parsha. Ish ish el kol she'er basara lo sikru legalos erva. Now, the Gemara points out that how does Rabbi Akiva read the pasuk of lo yigal ha'kanaf aviv, like Rabbi Yehuda, his Talmud, that it's anusas aviv and mefutas aviv. Is anusas aviv and mefutas aviv she'er basar? Absolutely. It fits the pattern perfectly. It's not, in other words, even though there's no kiddushin, Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush is that because your father had an intimate relationship with her, that's enough of, almost like a marriage, it's lo yikach ishes eishes aviv, that's, everybody agrees is eishes aviv, if lo yikala kanaf aviv, even a kanaf shara aviv, without nisu, without kiddushin, is still an erva for Rabbi Yehuda. But because it's not in Parshas Achrei Mos kiddushin, therefore, there's no kares because it's not nichlal in the kares. It's just a lav. V'lo yigala kanaf aviv. But it's sher basar shehu b'lo yava. So that is the simplest way that on the standard Rabbi Akiva, it has to be sher basar. Is there any other example of something that is sher basar shehu b'lo yava? So before you answer that question, I want to point out that is perhaps an oversimplified reading of Rabbi Akiva. Why? So I picked on one part of the statement, which was sher basar. However, there's another part of the statement, shehu, but lo yavo. Now, to the best of my knowledge, lo yavo is never used by the arayos of sher, by the arayos. Lo yavo is used by mamzer. Lo yavo is used by tzudak koshavcha. Lo yavo, irrelevant to mamzeris, but relevant to tfisas kiddushin. Lo yavo is used by ammoni and moavi. Right? That's where it says lo yavo. So it's a funny thing to say, kol she'er basar shehu b'lo yavo. Right, when you're about to say that an Ammoni and Moavi, according to what I'm suggesting for Akiva in the Mishnah, are not Mamzerim, because it's not Sher Basar. Right? Ammoni, I mean, it is actually in a funny way. The origin of Ammon and Moav, right? That was the classic Araya violation of Sher Basar. Right? They are distant relatives, but through Arayos. What's that? Fine, very nice, but we don't treat them as mamzeru. We allow the women to marry, by the way, okay? Just be quiet. You're going to lose this with me if you want to fight, so you're going to lose. Just stop. Quit while you're behind. Ask them.
How would Rabbi Akiva explain Isha Ish, meaning, is it exclusive?
So Isha Ish is in the truth is Isha's there, I mean, they all is in the parsha of Sher Basar. Right? Now, the pashtus. Sher Basar is an expansive term. So that's the general category. In other words, I would say it normally is that, but Eishes Ish is included in that parsha.
So all three of the sheetahs in the Mishnah would be molded to the Eishes Ish.
There's no question about that. Yeah. No question about that. So if you read Rabbi Akiva, however, if you read Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah as being only Sher Basar, so are there any other examples of Sher Basar? So this is a big machlokas harishana, and let me tell you partially what drives the issue. There's a Mishnah earlier in Yevamos, on Daf Mem Dalet, I believe, which states that according to Rabbi Akiva, nosei chalutzaso, you do chalitza to a woman, you're not allowed to then turn around and marry her. Asher lo yivne es beis achiv. Kevan shelo bana shuv lo yivne. It's a lav. Rabbi Akiva says that nosei chalutzaso, the vlad is a mamzer. Now, is that a lav of Sher Basar?
Yeah.
So Rashi says no.
It's your brother's
right. The complicated part is that once your brother died, Eishes Ach went poof. It's not there anymore. And so there's a new issur of lo yivnes b'mischev. Take a look at the, at its core, it's a machlokes actually, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan on Daf Yudam and Beis in the first parak in Yevamos. What happens, how does the mechanism work? Reish Lakish says that basically, Reish Lakish says, if you're no say, you're chalutza, the vlad is not a mamzer. But if you marry any of the other wives, or if any of you, other brothers, marry any of the women, including the chalutza, it's a mamzer. Why? It's kares, because it's eshes ach shalav b'makom mitzvah. Because he says that all that dissolves when you do an act of chalitza to one of the wives of your dead brother. At that time, the eshes ach isur disappears, and a new isur comes into being lo yivnes beis achiv. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Once the brother dies, any of the brothers and any of the wives who are eligible for yivam / chalitza, the isur of eshes ach goes poof. It's gone, and whatever isur exists is a new isur, and it's a totally new isur. But Rabbi Akiva believes, because it's chayv elav, and even if you're nosa your own chalutza, child's a mamzer. Now the question is chalutzaso considered sher basar? So Rashi says no, and most of the other Rishonim disagree and say yes. Now the truth be told, no matter even what else might be considered sher basar, perhaps machzir gushasa. Why? Because that prohibition is a product of your marriage. The possibility is even raised that if it were in fact kiddushin not tosin, it doesn't work in our Gemara. It's a little tosis in the bottom of the page. A tosis yishanim's kasha, I think. Sota, your sota, might also be an example of sher basa. Why? Because why is your sota asura to you? Because she was married to you when she was mizana. If she was single and she was mizana, it would have had no effect. You might or might not want to marry her. She might be a prutza. There's no isser. It's that she was mizana when she was married to you. With the your band of ishus, that could have also been called sher basar. It's fair to say that the prohibition of amoni moavi, the prohibition of kohanim, you know, marrying grusha, chalala, zona, and so on, is not sher basar. Now, so that's a machlokas harishonim, how far to extend it. But here's the question I want to point out. And this is a kasha according to all Rishonim. The Gemara here is missing a step. When the Gemara fleshes out all the possibilities within Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara skips a step. What should the Gemara have said? That Isavar Leika Rabbi Akiva Mayika Beinayu. What should the first thing the Gemara have said? They're looking for a case for Rabbi Akiva where there's an Issa Daraisa of marrying her, but still Kiddushin Artosin. So what should have been the Gemara's first resort? What? No. Chayvei Lavin that are not of She'er. Because the Pashtus is according to Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah on Memtes and Yevamos, and Amoni and Moavi Kiddushin Artosin. We might get trapped here. Just figured out. Pashtus says it's a good question. There might be a teretz for it. What? No, so I would say that, not at all. I would say according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Simoi, only Isuri Kahuna don't make mamzeris, because they make halalus. But you don't have that by Amoni Malavi. I'll give you the pilpul teretz why the Gemara doesn't. Are there any lavin of she'er? Once I've, if the Rishonim, I don't know if they say this explicitly, if the Rishonim are right, anybody have my Isuri Bia chart here?
Yeah,
good.
This is not an old
street. Can you find me chayvei lavin of she'er that are not, I'm sorry, chayvei lavin that are not she'er, that are not Isuri Kahuna, because that's the next step, and are not Amoni Mavi, and can produce children. Let's see. I'm going to go down my list here. Amana l'koin gadol, grusha l'koin, chalala l'koin, zona l'koin. Those are Yisuri Kuna. Tzudaka k'shafa can't produce children. Mamzer and Nasin produces mamzeris l'chulei alma, so you can't talk about it. Not because of any Isser, by the way not, but because that's the way Yichus passes down. Amoni Mavi, there's an example of lavin of which are not She'er and are not Isiri Kahuna. Mitzri and Adomi don't work? That's an Isra Aseh. Evid and Shivcha don't work, because that's a total... Firstly, if it's a shivcha, this child's not Jewish, there's nothing to talk about. If it's an eved, it's unique because the eved doesn't have kiddushin tos and anyone else. But ulah kohen gadol is an asay. Masir grushaso could be lav in the she'er. Yevama lashuk. Oh, wait, but that's complicated. Yevama lashuk. Rabbi Akiva makes mamzerus. It can't be lav in the she'er because it's to a total stranger. Let me finish. Goy, I forget that. That's not a skedushin. Ishto shezinsa. That is share, possibly share basar. So Yevama Lashuk will trip me up. But I was just gonna. What am I looking? You saw where I was going with this. What am I looking for? I want to argue. What are the possibilities? Yeah, where's Sam here? Sam, can I have your? Okay. Okay. Let me list quickly the possibilities. What is Rabbi? We know Rabbi Akiva is more machmir than Rabbi Shimon HaTemani. Rabbi Shimon HaTemani says it has to be krasus, arayos. Possibility number one in Rabbi Akiva, the least stringent opinion Rabbi Akiva is chayve lav in the share. Only chayve lav in the share creates mamzerus. What's chayve lav in the share? The arayos, anusas avutas avim, and the few examples that I listed. What's the next possibility in Rabbi Akiva that the Gemara suggests? Well, let me take it. What's conceptually the next possibility in Rabbi Akiva? What's that? Chayve Lavin, which are not She'er Basar, but also not Isurei Kahuna. Okay, in other words, Isurei Kahuna we already know might be different. So let's hold off on that. But let's say Chayve Lavin, which are not She'er Basar, but also not Isurei Kahuna. So there you might have said that Lavin and Isurei Kahuna are not going to be Mabzerim, they'll be Chalalim. But any Lavin which are not Isurei Kahuna, which are higher than that Madrega, even though they're not Chayve Lavin the She'er, so they create mamzerus. Then, the next step in Rabbi Akiva is even chayve lavin of the kahuna. That's Rabbi Yishev number one. The next possibility in Rabbi Akiva is chayve ase. So that's what I would have suggested. Right? I would have suggested chayve lavin the she'er, chayve lavin except the surikuna, all chayve lavin including surikuna, and then chayve ase. Which of those steps does this Gemara have? 1, 3, and 4. It skips the second step. One of the Rishonim points this out, actually. One of the Rishonim, I think Yevamos, notes that this point is dealing with Rashi, and arguing Rashi, it's left out. So I had a teretz which doesn't work. You know why? It's if you don't hold like Rashi, if you hold like the other Rishonim, that Machzir Grushaso and Sotaso, well, leave Sotaf for the moment, Machzir Grushaso and Chalutzaso, those are all considered Chayve Lav in the She'er. You know why the Gemara doesn't have Category 2? Because it doesn't exist. Because but what about Ammoni and Moavi? See, this is nasty. No, they talk about Adomi and Mitzri. And by the way, if this were true, this would prove that this is the original Sugya, not the Sugya in Kiddushin. Why? You know why it leaves it out? Because it's not Shayach in our Sugya. You know why? Because who are we talking about here, having a Psul Yichus here?
The woman.
But if she's a Moavis and Ammonis, it's not Chayve Lav in anything. So if it weren't for Yevama Lashuk, in the sugi of Ones and Mefate, there would be no category 2. In Kiddushin Ayin Ches, in Samaches, there is room for Ammoni and Moavi. Because there it doesn't matter which side. It doesn't have to dafka be the woman. That's where I was going with this. It doesn't work because Yevama Lashuk is going to mess us up. Unless somebody, because Yevama Lashuk, to the Shuk guy, that's not Chavi Lavin the share of the pastresses. So the Gemara should have said, okay, and according to the Shita that says within Rabbi Akiva that even, not just the Chavi Lavin the share, but even Yevama Lashuk, this Ramzerus, well, where would there be a case with Kedushin Aratosin? And then you would have said, Isurei Kahuna like Rab Simoi. And then you would have said, but if you hold like Rabbi Sheva, what would you say? All right, so you could then be Mitaritz, my Kasha, and my Teretz by saying that for the Yevama Lashuk case, so one case, they weren't going to ask the question. Right, I don't know. I raise this as an issue only because what does Rabbi Akiva mean in the Mishnah in Nam Tesamet Aleph, in Yevamos? He says, She'er Basar Shehu Bolo Yavo, not just any Lav. Generally speaking, throughout Shas, how do we quote Rabbi Akiva Shita? Chayve Lavin, period. What that means in terms of Rav Simoi, you don't know. And you're not going to be able to tell from later in the Mishonim, from terms of which opinion we accept, why, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. If we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, you would look in the Rambam and see what is the din by Almana l'Kohen Gadol, Grusha v'Chalutza l'Kohen Hedyot. But unfortunately, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. But unfortunately, we have no way of knowing what Rabbi Akiva Shita, what the maskana was Rabbi Akiva Shita, was like Rabbi Simai or Rabbi Yesheva. There's no way of knowing that. Okay, fine. So that is the first sheet in the Mishnah. Is there a question? That's Evet Shivcha. I went through that. Okay. I knew this Yisurabia chart would come in handy. In case your Purim's not here yet, then maybe someone should send this along to YUConnects. They could put this as a paper in the file. So if you want to know whether you're allowed to date the girl, you can look down the sheet and say, okay, is she? Go down. It's a checklist. You have a little square boxes, and you can mark X if she doesn't fit in the categories or you don't fit in the categories. Okay, fine. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, fine. So continue. Shimon HaTemani Omer. I don't know, by the way, it's Shimon HaTimni or Shimon HaTemani. Okay. Okay. You don't want that recorded on tape. He's not from Yemen. The South. And I'll tell you what?
The southern ant road looks exactly like that's from southern Israel, where they can't grow. They're at where they can't grow.
What?
There's also the Yemen, the where he is, gets his etrog from. It's called, like, the one description of it is.
There were no Jews in Taman then.
No, I understand. I'm saying that.
So the only question is: he a southerner, or is he from Timna, which is a city mentioned in Shoftim, Legabe Shimshon.
Wait, what? There are at least some indications of it. At least from what I've read, but there's suffix, but there are some indications of it. You can't definitely say they were.
There was no Tana. There was no Tana from Taman right after the Churban Bayis Sheni, okay? I'm not trying to insult your roots. Look, I promise you, at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni Mishnah, there were no Jews in Teaneck whatsoever, okay? Or Eastern Europe, okay? Feel better? I don't know. So anyway, fine. Fine. So, we can say there were Jews in Syria. That we can say with certainty, okay, at that time. Okay, and Babel. What? That's a different story, okay? But there were no Tanaim in Taman, okay? So anyway, whoever is Shimon, I always say Shimon Taimani. I don't know which it is. The reason why I'm reluctant to say he's a southerner, again, this I don't mention this Bechinam, is because he's a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, as far as I can tell. I don't think, unless he's not, but I don't. You have to go look. I don't know how many of the places we have Shiptoni, but if he's a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, where did Rabbi Akiva live? In the Galilee or in the south? In the south, Rabbi Akiva was in Yavne. It's after the Bar Kokhba revolt, Rabbi Akiva's death, that the Tanaim are now in Usha. That's why in Rabbi Akiva's generation, he's called Rabbi Yose HaGalili, because he was the exception to the rule. He was a Galilean, whereas most of the Tanaim were southerners. Whereas in the...
Here's the bio.
Tana B'dor Shlishi, that's Rabbi Akiva's generation. He's a Talmud of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Fine. Yes, I should have known that. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. Done in Lefnei Chachamim. Fine. Okay. And he didn't have smicha, so we'll stop calling him rabbi. Okay, fine. What? It does say Achaholach Rabbi Akiva Itza, but he was already a southern. In other words, he's not south. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe there's the Galilee, there's Yavne, and then there's the south. Could be. Achabah Rabbi Akiva Itza, Rabosenu Shebedarim. I still understand that because. I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that story is presumably the death of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, I assume, is in the Bar Kokhba revolt. In other words, to the extent that you can extract the historical kernel, and afterwards, if even Rabbi Akiva, maybe not, I don't know, because he was killed then, I don't know. All right, anyway, so Shimon HaTemani says, Kol Shechayavan Alav. All right, we don't paskin like the Mishnah, but we still paskin with Shimon HaTemani. Now, as the Mishnah says, halacha kudvar, it doesn't mean anything. We paskin with Shimon HaTemani, the Rishonim say, because the Stam Mishnah in Kiddushin, Dam Sal, Vavam, Beis, which is the Mishnah of the Kolos. That's the rule, so you see, that must be halacha psuka. But just because the Mishnah says, there are examples in the Mishnah, there are only a few of them, but there is at least one example where it says halacha kedvarim, and we don't paskin that way. Because ein the Gemara Bava Basra, daf kuf lamed gimel lamed beis says, ein lemeidin halacha lo mitoch Mishnah, v'lo mitoch, you know, agada, v'lo mitoch, you know, I forget, not Gemara or something like that. It's an important Gemara that we shouldn't talk about this, but you know, the Mishnah says halacha kedvarim doesn't mean anything. We happen to paskin anyway, like Rav Shimon HaTemani. Finally, Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Again, so I've indicated that I don't fully understand this. This doesn't prove that Rabbi Yeshua is correct, because everybody agrees that the Vlad from an Eishes Ish is a Mamzer. What the deal that the Mishnah is making, or that Ben Azai is making, is that why would they need to state the purpose in stating May Eishes Ish is to indicate that that's the threshold of Mamzerus. Okay, Eishes Ish is the most lenient, it's the most kal of all the Mises based in. Why is it the most kal? Why is it the most relatively lenient? Not only in terms of its punishment is the most lenient, but more importantly, in terms of the nature of its Isser, because? Yesh lo heter. Yesh lo heter. Because you can have, Eishes Ish can be undone. Eishes Av can never be undone. The father can divorce her, the father can die, still Eishes Av. There is a sheet, I believe, in Sanhedrin, in Elohein HaNisrafim, the eighth perek, that if the Erva HaOser is dead, I don't know if it's by all of these, but I think it is, that there's no Mises based in just Kares. In other words, Isha Ubita, I think it's Rabbi Yishmael maybe, who said, it's either Rabbi Yishmael or Rabbi Kiv, who said, I think it's Rabbi Yishmael, who says by Isha Ubita, the way they explain the, I don't want to go into it now. They say that it's, one of them says that it's only when the Erva Oseris, when the Oseris is alive. Once they're dead, then they may be Kares, but there's no Mises based. Okay, fine. So these are the three Shitos. All right, so the Gemara is going to go on to discuss the Makar. We're going to stop here because I want a few words, a brief, abridged version of what my comments are going to be.